So I've been trying to preach in context in these recent weeks, especially as our Bible study moves through the Gospel of Matthew, and then on Sunday morning I preach out of a small selection from what our Bible study. We're looking at, you know, chapters at a time. So this last week we looked at chapters 12 to 16. So I pull one story out of that, but I want to preach the whole context. And in fact, as I think about all of Matthew's Gospel as we've moved through it, one way that I want to sort of help set the context for today's story, which is the feeding of the 5,000, is to talk about how Jesus has been creating a world and confronting a world, if that makes sense to you. In fact, one of the sort of overarching categories of these chapters 12 to 16 is described as Jesus is confronted by his opponents. That confrontation is symbolic of and indicative of the fact that Jesus is confronting a world that exists. And he's doing that as he attempts to create a world that could be. Does that make sense to you? If you think about Jesus' teaching and his preaching, think of it as him stepping onto the stage that is the world with a vision to create a world that could be. Some of the language he uses for that is, for instance, the kingdom of God. You've heard Jesus say, John the Baptist preached that the Messiah was coming. The Messiah preached that the kingdom is coming. And Jesus says on more than one occasion, the kingdom of God is near. One word is at hand. He even goes so far at some point to say the kingdom of God is within you and among you. So it's the kingdom of God that represents the world that Jesus is trying to create. Put aside the idea that you may have had, like I did for many years, that the kingdom of God is heaven. It's someplace I'm going to go when I die. But rather, the kingdom of God is a way of life that Jesus is trying to initiate in our midst with his teaching. And a way of being. That way of being might be described as, blessed are you. When? Right? And then there's all these words, peacemaking, loving kindness, being merciful, being meek and humble. All those beatitudes are signs of the kingdom of God, of living a blessed life here on this earth, in this time. That's the world Jesus is trying to create. He says on more than one occasion, if you only knew what this meant, and these words were part of our opening words today, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus seems to want to confront a system that's built on sacrifice and works righteousness and checking off the box and doing this and getting into heaven that way. He has no interest in that kind of religion. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. This is the world that Jesus is trying to create. It's a world where the sick are healed, the demon-possessed are freed. In a word, he is restoring everyone to wholeness. That's the kingdom of God. That's the world Jesus wants to create. What happens when you try to create a world like that in the midst of a world that already has a world? We already have a way of doing things. You meet confrontation. So as Jesus tries to create something new, he confronts something old. And really, it's not a it's not a damnation kind of thing. It's just you can do better is what he's really offering. And they constantly are on him about, for example, breaking the Sabbath law. One of the first, the opening story in chapter 12, he and his disciples are passing through the grain field, and they're hungry, so they pick grain, and they eat it right there on the spot. And the Pharisees and some of the other folks who have been watching Jesus closely condemn him for that. It's the Sabbath. You're breaking the law. And Jesus says, basically, there's something greater than the law here. He tells a story about David going into the temple and taking the bread and eating it when he and his soldiers were hungry. He said, don't you know there's something greater than the temple here? And then a couple other passages later, they want a sign. You know, these religious people, they give us a religious sign. Give us a sign from heaven. And Jesus says, there's something greater than Jonah here. You want a sign like the people in Jonah's day, there's something greater than Jonah here. And then one last time, he says, there's something greater than Solomon here. So the temple, the prophets, the greatest king that ever lived, the wisest king that ever lived, Solomon, there's something greater here than all of those things. So Jesus confronts this world of religion and rigidity with something greater. And when I say religion and rigidity, it's like these two things go hand in hand. Rules, regulations, boundaries, having people in charge that say, you're in and you're out. You can be here, you can't be here, you broke the law, you did this. That's religion that Jesus knew in his day. We probably know it ourselves. And that's what Jesus confronts. Creating a world that could be, confronting a world that is. Okay? That's the context. Now, let me read that story again. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place. When you read a line like that in Scripture, do you ever wonder, when he heard what? What did he just hear? Do you know what he just heard? No, of course not. You don't have your Bibles open. I do, let me tell you. Or if you want to look it up, look it up. All you have to do is go back to the paragraph right before that. Prepare yourselves, it's kind of gruesome. It's Herod's birthday party. Anybody know what's coming? Yes, John the Baptist. He had John beheaded in prison, and the head was brought on a platter given to the girl, his daughter, who brought it to her mother. It was her mother that actually put her up to it. So John the Baptist's head on a platter. Have you seen that picture, by the way? I think it's at the Joslin Art Museum. They have a picture. It's in a lot of museums. I think they were fascinated, weren't they? The Renaissance painters with some of these great biblical stories, and it's really gruesome. I mean, it's a platter with fruit and food on it, and there's the head of John the Baptist, like twice the size of my head. I mean, it's really huge. Isn't that an interesting picture to have right before the feeding of the 5,000? It's as if to say, which world would you like to inhabit? Here's one world that Herod inhabits. And when Herod has a birthday party, what gets served? A head on a platter. The sign of my power to give and to take away. It's a gruesome world. Who wants to live in that world? Here's another world. This is the world that Jesus is in the process of creating. It goes like this. When the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion. He had compassion for them and cured their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Sometimes Jesus even has to confront his own disciples in the world that they inhabit in order to create a new world when he says to them, you give them something to eat. No need to send the crowds away. That's the old world. That might be how Herod would have done it. He might have sent troops to go do this or that or dispatch someone to do this. Men of power, you know, can do all these things. But you... They need not go away. You give them something to eat. And they replied, we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. And here I want to insert the words into your memory. Something greater is here. Something greater is here. The disciples see 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus takes it. He looks up to heaven. And I'm imagining there's something greater here than 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then these 4 verbs that you might recognize, take, bless, broke, and gave. He blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, in addition to women and children. The world that Jesus is creating. Is that the world you want to inhabit? It's marked by compassion, healing, wholeness, abundance, something greater. I mean, that's one picture of the world. The other picture is a birthday party for Herod, a man of great power. Conniving, manipulation, the mother putting the daughter up to some hideous task, and in the midst, John the Baptist is beheaded in this gruesome sort of prank at the birthday party that says what power is about. This is the world Jesus confronts. This is the world Jesus creates. And in creating this world, he has created us disciples to be about creating this world. I think he probably wanted us to have, in fact, I just heard an address this week. A guy was saying, you know, there are a lot of stories in the Bible about bread and fish. There's one story about bread and wine. We took that one story and put it in our weekly worship service. Jesus probably would have liked us to take the bread and fish story. I know Judy's not a big fan of that. She said, I'm glad he didn't do the fish, or we'd be eating fish every week. But the point is, this is a story about abundance. It's a story about compassion. It's a story about something greater. And it's a story that echoes Jesus' repeating words, I require mercy, not sacrifice. Those opening words were from Hosea, and it's sort of a modern rendering of those words, but I loved that idea that I don't want more religion, I want more love. God says to us, I don't want more religion, I want more love. Love that lasts. And that's why Jesus gave us this meal. This meal of abundance and compassion. Let's not turn it into a sacrifice. Let's not turn it into a way to control God. But let's turn it into the reenactment of abundance. Of this is what it feels like to have enough. This is what it feels like to be welcoming to all. This is what it's like to feast in God's presence. Something greater is here. It's mercy. It's compassion. It's abundance. And it's the very presence of God.